20 years ago this fall, an openly gay University of Wyoming student was robbed, tied to a fence, brutally beaten, and left for dead on the outskirts of Laramie. He died a few days later. The murder of Matthew Shepard was called a hate crime by local law enforcement officers, and it led to worldwide attention on the topic of LGBTQ rights. His parents, Dennis and Judy Shepard, remain residents of Wyoming and have dedicated themselves to fight discrimination in the name of their son. They spent a lot of time in Laramie during their youth, and I asked them to describe what it's like to return to Laramie.
It's pretty amazing. I'm not used to seeing a remodeled student union, and I'm not used to seeing everybody with a laptop sitting in there. At the same time, I think about Matt. It's hard to get away from thinking about his last hours and the fun that he had before that, how much he enjoyed being here and how much he wanted to come back here and finish school. So it's a real mixed blessing.
My guess is you've come back to a lot of support and maybe some old friends and people probably very excited to see you and hear from you. And I imagine that adds to the mixed blessings.
Well, that's true. We have friends here and we do come back for support from the people we know who know the story. But there's always that background of the conspiracy that lingers here. And that's really hard. It's hard when you know that some people wish you just would go away. What's hard for me is I was here most of the time in 99 when the trials were taking place. Dennis only came back for the end of the both of them. So this holds a different set of memories for me. It's really hard.
You went a direction I wanted to ask you about. Obviously, there was a book that came out, and there's an alternative viewpoint on Matt and how Matt died. How has that been to hear and deal with?
Well, so let's just get a few facts out of the way right away. This conspiracy of theirs was a drug deal gone bad, right? Well, so if it was, why didn't they say so? Why in their own statements did those two young men say it was because Matt was gay? Why did they not say we were buying drugs and all that? That would have made everything so different and so much less interesting to the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
So much less interesting. So if that was the case, why didn't they just say so? There have been a lot of theories about communities who just absolutely refuse to believe their community is responsible for this kind of thing. And I sort of feel like that's what Wyoming does, is they just don't want to acknowledge it does happen here. It does happen here. It still happens here. So the ridiculousness of all of it is just very irritating to me because intellectually people should know this is ridiculous.
Dennis?
Well, you have to understand the background. The person who wrote the book was the producer of the 2020 show with Elizabeth Vargas that was such a flop. And his dream was to become a big-time producer. And when that didn't happen, he wrote this book, and it's a book of paranoia. And it was published, no mainstream publisher would publish it. He had to go to a conspiracy theory publisher to get it out. The sad part is that the Wyoming Historical Society, without ever vetting the book, gave it an award and legitimized it. And I happened to be there for another reason, and I jumped all over them. And they were embarrassed, but they didn't know what to do. Because we have the people here in town, like Sheriff O'Malley, who actually investigated Matt's incident and can verify and prove everything, along with Tim Newcomb, who has vehemently denied everything that was in that conspiracy book. And he did so in the Laramie Boomerang. So this is his way of trying to get fame and fortune, and the sad thing is it's out there now. So later on, people will see this and think this is the true story and not know that Judy's book is really more about it. And then the facts of the trial, all the testimony in there that verifies it, as Judy said, they flat denied even knowing Matt before that night. And they've done it again and again.
Like I said before, why would they not use that as their defense?
Well, they said in the book that it was because they were afraid that they'd be tortured and beaten and killed in prison. Ah, bull.
Yeah, sounds good.
We are visiting with Dennis and Judy Shepherd. It's the 20-year anniversary of the murder of Matthew Shepherd. I asked my newsroom, they're all 20-somethings, and many of them don't remember this case.
Sure.
They certainly are aware of it because they do work in Laramie, Wyoming. And I said, what question would you like to ask? And one of the questions that they wanted to ask you was, humanize Matt for me. What was he like?
Pain in the butt.
Yeah. He was argumentative, very outspoken, certain in his positions, politically obsessed. He loved the theater, funny, diminutive in size, loved a good joke, loved people, never met a stranger. He thrived on new experiences, new people, new stories, new foods, new everything. He wanted to absorb everything about life. But there was a side to him that was also sort of reserved. He had been assaulted in high school in overseas, and that sort of changed him from being an extreme extrovert into being a more cautious introvert. But he still was very much out there for meeting anybody new. He was delightful and argumentative.
Pain in the butt, Dennis?
He just loved to argue. And so I'd say the sky is blue, and by the time we get done arguing, I agree with him that it was green. So just to give up.
It was very much in the Democratic platform of social safety net.
Social injustice,
taking care of people, treating everybody the same, equality. All of that has always been, even when he was small.
And I think it really opened his eyes up with that after going overseas and seeing how some of the workers from foreign countries were treated in Saudi Arabia and other parts of the world where he visited.
So here we are 20 years later. How do you see how the world has changed? Part of you has to feel, I would think, that there has been some improvement, but I wonder if the other part of you is like, have we made any progress whatsoever?
You know, we spent a lot of time during the Bush administration working at the grassroots level, trying to raise awareness, change hearts and minds, tell our stories, just to familiarize people with the gay community, let them know how many of us there really are, and that we're just people. We're your coworker, your neighbor, your friend, your son, your cousin. And then when Obama became president, we all felt in this social justice movement of all disenfranchised folks that we had an opportunity to work with someone who understood social justice and injustice, who had experienced it, who it was part of his culture, and the people he had around him were of the same ilk. Well, things just for everybody just went lickety-split through his administration in acknowledging disparity and trying to raise equality, equity. We got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We have marriage equality, hate crime legislation signed in that takes care of sexual orientation, federal, even in Wyoming. So, yes, we made so much progress. And not just that, but the role model that this man was for the world changed things internationally dramatically. So it was wonderful. And then, 2016 election, it's like, oh my God, what have we done? I just see every day things being turned backwards, trying to change this back into what it was.
But, and I want to add this, but when I see these policy changes take place, and use the transgender and the military one as a recent example, what you also hear are the people that are in the military reacting to that. And I wonder if you'd comment on that.
Yes, that is the brilliant thing. Also, courts are now, they are more on, in view of reserving those rights that we had and preserving them.
Those are the old judges, not the new ones coming in under the present administration. That's the scary part.
Yeah, we'll see. So, for example, the immigration ban. Well, they said no. The judges said no, the trans in the military. But what we also have accomplished in the Obama administration was organization, acknowledgement, numbers, a awareness of who we are, all the marginalized communities. We have a voice now, and we know how to use it, and we are using it.
Back to your son. One of the things that still happens to me from time to time is I will get a letter from a kid, or I'll get, it's usually an email, and they'll say, Mr. Beck, I'm going to be in the play, The Laramie Project. And I wonder if you could give me a little sense of you know, how I should play this particular character or something like that. 20 years later, this play is still being done in high schools, mm-hmm. colleges all across the country. How does that make you feel?
I'm so grateful to Moises and Tectonic for creating this amazing piece of theater of history, of honesty. It's not only performed nationally, but internationally as well. But if we took out Matt and his sexuality and inserted an immigrant or a dreamer, it's the exact same story, exact same story. It's about the disenfranchised. It's about how we are not treating people, human beings, the way we should and not respecting who they are. But it just, I am amazed and thrilled and so proud of them.
The sad part to me is that this play is still relevant.
Have you seen any change in Laramie or in Wyoming since that time on attitudes?
Yeah. We have GSAs now in the high schools, which is something I really question would ever happen, gay-straight alliances, thriving gay-straight alliances. There's not a population base to really support a gay bar or center, but each community finds their own way to gather and support each other. Casper had their first actual parade last year. They've had pride events, but not a parade.
In fact, the tutu comment?
The tutu thing was brilliant, right? That was brilliant. I do see progress, but like the very next day, we had that awful thing with Kathy Connolly and the trying to change the language and forms. That was heartbreaking to me that some people are still there. So
there's still work to be done?
Still work to be done everywhere.
Judy, Dennis Shepherd, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Appreciate the invitation.